ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to yet another episode, yet another exciting episode of Politics. It's been an interesting week in the world of politics, and there's a lot of stuff that I would like to talk about that you've probably already heard talked about. The first thing being the Project Veritas candid camera, whatever you want to call it, to catch a predator thing that they did with the Pfizer exec. And it's funny because before I even saw the video, I saw people in my timeline on Twitter, you know, kind of making excuses for it. Like, I don't trust James O'Keefe. I don't trust who he is. And yeah, okay, he definitely has some politics that I don't agree with. But let's get right into it. Let's talk about James O'Keefe and the Pfizer video. So, if you've seen the video, I'm not going to replay the whole thing. I'm going to play maybe a couple clips for it. So, the first thing that happens, or like some of the biggest takeaways for most people here, are just kind of the confirmation of things that we already kind of knew, right? So, the first thing that this guy confirms is that there's a revolving door between politics and Washington, D.C. and Pfizer and most companies, let's be honest. Like these big, this is how the government has been captured. They put people, you know, Trump, we've talked about this before. Trump basically put, what was that guy's name? Rex Tillerson, the Exxon guy, in charge of like, what was he, like Secretary of Energy or Defense or something crazy. So he's like, he just cut the middleman out. And so instead of there being lobbyists and stuff, he just put the CEO right in charge of, you know, the government department that like grants permits to the oil industry. And so when Biden got in, I mean, none of this changed. And this is where the whole deep state terminology comes from. It's basically, it's a legitimate terminology, and a lot of people on the left think it's some right-wing thing or just because of the circles it's originated in. And because I think a lot of the rhetoric that is used to discredit people as conspiracy theorists is right-wing now. So if they want to discredit you, they call you right-wing. And that's kind of what Jimmy Dore is experiencing, or anyone who's to the left of the Democrats, really, gets called a right-wing. Glenn Greenwald, great example. Glenn Greenwald, this is a guy who, you know, broke the Snowden story, freed Lula from jail in Brazil. People call him a right-winger. It's ridiculous. But back to the subject at hand, Pfizer versus James O'Keefe. So this video, okay, when you watch this video, the guy basically admits to, like I just said, the kind of government capture or the corporate capture of the government and how there's a rotating door between Pfizer and the government. The second thing he confirms is that this was never about health, that they're manipulating the virus to make new strains so they can sell vaccines behind them. And again, at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of conservatives were called conspiracy theorists and deplatformed for kind of saying these kind of things. And there you have it. So what I wanted to do is go over the reputation of Pfizer and James O'Keefe, kind of like piece by piece, because the reality is, I don't trust anyone. So I might not trust James O'Keefe, but do I trust CNN? Do I trust the New York Times? About as far as I can shit, you know? Even if I have explosive diarrhea, it's not that far. That's a poop joke. That's a political poop joke. So, kind of the first thing, right, that comes up when you look into James O'Keefe's history is he was raided by the FBI in 2017 for, get this, allegedly having Ashley Biden's diary. And I mean, I don't care what you think about partisan politics, journalism and news should be about speaking truth to power. My favorite quote, which I almost like should start putting at the beginning of every episode, is news is something someone doesn't want printed. Everything else is advertising. That's so true. I think it was Hearst who said that. Don't quote me on that. I'll dig it up and attribute it right here. But the reality is that James O'Keefe, when you really look at the bare facts, has a little more credibility than Pfizer does. Okay, maybe a lot more. So the next thing that, if you go back a little bit further, the first time I heard of James O'Keefe was the Acorn Pimp thing. Now, let's talk about this, because what he did here was disingenuous. And so this is why it's good to be skeptical of someone like him, because with the Acorn Pimp thing, what he did was kind of roll in to Acorn dressed as a pimp. And when they interviewed employees of Acorn after the fact, they called the cops, you know, because he pretended that he was like trying to bring like sex slaves in and whatever, and then went to the public, you know, went to the news and said, hey, look what Acorn's doing. They're, you know, allowing foreign people to come in with sex slaves and stuff. And legitimately, everyone on both sides of the aisle, right and left, condemned Acorn. I think Congress, I'm positive Congress defunded Acorn, because even John Stewart came out and said, hey, I was wrong about Acorn, and like kind of, you know, jumped on this train. Well, after the fact, it was proven that, you know, after they interviewed some of the Acorn employees, they actually did try to, you know, call the cops and say, hey, this guy might be doing something illegal. But at the time, they just didn't front on him. They just went, okay, you know, yeah, whatever you say, guy in the pimp hat. So that was the first time I had heard of him. And the second time I had heard of him was he got arrested and prosecuted for trying to bug Mary Landrieu's office in New Orleans, who's a Democratic senator. That's straight up like Watergate shit right there. But at the end of the day, aside from the Acorn thing, both Ashley Biden and the Landrieu thing are, to me, speaking truth to power. The Acorn thing is a little dicey. So, you know, for me, it's like James is two and one, basically, for me on those three items. So he's leaning a little bit towards the speaking truth to power side. His history kind of shows that to me, if I look at it closely, right? So then I look at Pfizer, right? And first of all, Pfizer had the like biggest lawsuit in history against them from the Justice Department. It's on their website. Like the headline says, biggest like lawsuit in history. So there's that. And then this other cat on Twitter kind of pulled up this list of like all the violations, and like I'll put that in here too, but just like this thing, like violation at all the times that like Pfizer has done like terrible things and sold drugs that they knew were going to hurt people. I keep smacking my mic with my hand. But they're terrible. They're terrible. So if you stack up the track record of a Project Veritas against the track record of a Pfizer, Project Veritas definitely comes out on top. And that's the kind of, you know, data-based, straightforward, lack of dramatics approach I like to look at politics, or lens that I like to look at politics through, because there's so much dramatics and tribalism, especially in today's marketplace, today's political marketplace, if you want to call it that, that there aren't very many honest actors anymore. Everyone's kind of a tribalist. They're kind of married to their loyalties, partisan loyalties, or the money that they're getting, as is the case with people like Cenk Uygur from Young Turks, which we'll get into later. We have a whole segment about Crystal Ball and Kyle Kalinske. Now they're really showing themselves. But yeah, when we look at this James O'Keefe versus Pfizer situation, I think James O'Keefe comes out on top. So then you kind of have this whole thing where a lot of the kind of like leftist journalists are running interference for Pfizer. You have that Stan Cedar guy, who I always intentionally call Stan Cedar because he's just a generic, you know, light version of MSNBC. I mean, he might as well just be like, he's like one of those NPCs in a video game, a non-playable character, just kind of like, I'm Stan Cedar.
I hold no, hold no water for Pfizer, but let's just be clear what this is. This is not about taking on corporations who are get funded by the U.S. government and then try and privatize the profits here. This is about promoting an anti-vax conspiracy theory.
Well, you're not supposed to do gain function research of the viruses, like they recommend not. But you do like these like selected directional mutations to try to see if you make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's gonna work. There might not be any more outbreaks, just like Jesus Christ.
The gentleman seems to have absolutely no moral compass at all.
Now, they bring on, this just gives away the game, right? Because they bring on an anti-vaxxer, this Dr. Malone, to, I guess, assess the moral value of this one guy who works at the at Pfizer. But then this guy from Project Veritas is like trying to conflate a couple of things. Research of the virus, okay, yes, of course. And mutating it.
It mutates, bro.
It is not, they are not mutating it.
Yeah.
They are watching it mutate in a controlled environment so that they can anticipate what,
how to treat it.
People may say, like, that's too dangerous. You shouldn't do that. Perfectly, I think, legitimate. But the bottom line is, they're not mutating it.
So anyway, as we kind of finish up this conversation about O'Keefe and Pfizer, I wanted to talk about this article, which kind of talks about the CDC and how the CDC gets funding from drug companies. They do it through a foundation, and it's kind of like dicey how they do it, and they have to disclose it to some degree, but guarantee you that a company like a Pfizer and or a, you know, any of the big pharma companies has little arms or like different foundations that they funnel money to, through. So here's the thing about how the CDC received a $3.4 million donation from Pfizer through their foundation. And I mean, when you look at all this in context, how can you not be skeptical of the COVID thing? And that's the thing I think is so funny with these, with the Jordan Cheritons and the Stan Cedars of the world, is they're like, oh, capitalism, yeah, down with capitalism. But everything Pfizer and the CDC and FDA says is 100% true. And if you doubt it, you're a right winger or a conspiracy theorist or, you know, whatever the most terrible thing, TERF, whatever the most terrible thing you can think of is, that's what you are if you doubt the COVID narrative. You want millions to die. Don't talk about the fact that these counts were drastically inflated and that people who died with COVID versus of COVID are a hugely different subset of people. One of the most recent things, CNN posted this article. It's an obvious like COVIDian scare article. And it says COVID is now the number 8 cause of death for children under 18. Number 8, guys. COVID is the number. What are the first 7? I jokingly responded, just literally like off the cuff from my phone, number 7 is pizza. Way down on the list. Let's be honest about that. But second of all, what are the first 7? Because the first 3 are probably the most important, if we're being honest. And like, let's look into those. What are those? But they didn't even get into that. They are just using this headline as a scare tactic for COVID. So what's funny is I responded, number 7 is pizza, just as a joke. And this guy chimes in and he goes, number 7 is actually heart disease, man. Why are you laughing at dead kids? You know, he got all pearl clutchy about it. And so then I started going, oh, wow. It really is pizza. Number 7 really is pizza. It's heart disease. So, you know, the next response was like, hey, so if number 7 really is heart disease, bro, like, what do you think causes heart disease? And of course, if you Google like heart disease in children, it's like birth defects. You're not going to find anything in this corporate media about how McDonald's and Coca-Cola and all the garbage that you're fed from the time you're a kid are the number one contributors to health problems like that. Heart problems specifically, heart disease. But if you do a couple skips, you can find articles like this, which talk about how 45% of heart problems are related to diet. And they even call the standard American diet, the acronym for that is SAD. So it doesn't get, how does it get any better than that? And it just shows you how deep the propaganda hooks are in people who bought this whole ridiculous COVID narrative. You know, the I'm anti-capitalist, but if you better support Pfizer or you're a terrible person, people are. So the whole conversation about heart disease being the number seven cause of death, pizza being the number seven cause of death in children, and poison being in our food, sent me down this wormhole, because you may or may not know this, but in Europe, it's illegal to advertise pharmaceutical drugs on television. The United States and New Zealand are the only countries where that's legal. And I actually have a cousin whose husband is German, and he thought it was hilarious when he saw this. But it got me thinking, you know, how many things are legal here in the United States that aren't legal in Europe? Wow. So going down this wormhole, first of all, I read an article at the end of last year about lead being in chocolate. I'll throw that up. Basically, Hershey's and Trader Joe's actually had their chocolates tested, and they had heavy lead content in them. So there's a lawsuit about that, right? So already, right off the bat, Trader Joe's, you know, Trader Joe's is a great company. I shop there myself sometimes. But watch out, their chocolate, you know, I'm sure it's manufactured by some third party or whatever, but their chocolate has lead in it, apparently, especially the dark stuff. So this next article, let's kind of walk through it. I found this article about, basically, these are American staple foods that are banned in other countries, right? So what it says is, a California lawsuit recently put Mars Inc. in the hot seat, claiming one of its candies contained toxins that are unsafe to eat. The class action suit filed earlier this month accuses the candy manufacturer of including heightened levels of titanium dioxide in Skittles candy. The petitioner pointed to the European Union phasing out the use of titanium dioxide, with a full ban going into place next month. However, Skittles aren't the only popular American food containing ingredients banned or limited in other countries. Here are just a few of the American snacks you won't find in other countries for this reason, because they contain chemicals that are known to hurt you and are banned in other countries. Mountain Dew and Fresca. Mountain Dew and Fresca are banned because the product contains brominated vegetable oil. BVO is banned in Japan and the European Union because it contains bromine, the element found in brominated flame retardants, which can build up in the body and potentially lead to memory loss as well as skin and nerve problems. Grapefruit-flavored soda Fresca also contains this ingredient. Little Debbie Swiss Rolls. Products in the European Union containing yellow 5 and red 4 carry warnings that they cause adverse effects in children, but you won't find that warning on a box of Little Debbie Swiss Rolls in the U.S. Several breakfast cereals, okay? Popular breakfast cereals include Frosted Flakes, Honey Bunches of Oats, Rice Krispies contain BHT, used as a flavor enhancer. BHT has long been studied for its potential carcinogenic properties. While the evidence is inconclusive, BHT is banned in Japan and the European Union. Other cereals, such as Lucky Charms, use yellow 5, yellow 6, and red 40, despite it being known to cause itching and hives for some. That's great. Stovetop stuffing. Kraft stovetop stuffing might make weekend dinners easier, but also contains the same BHT found in breakfast cereals. Great. Ritz crackers and Coffee Mate. Now listen, I used to be a big Coffee Mate guy. Ooh, that stuff is terrible. Trans fats were officially banned in the U.S. in 2018. However, some trans fats, such as partially hydrogenated soybean and cotton oils, can still be found in popular products such as Ritz crackers, Coffee Mate creamers, and Coffee Mate creamers. Excuse me. These ingredients are also banned in Switzerland, Austria, Hungary, Iceland, Norway, and Denmark. Good to know your government's looking out for you, eh, America? Drumstick frozen desserts. Drumstick uses carrageenan. Carrageenan's in a lot of stuff, actually. I was making some flan here at home. You get the little, it's like Jello. You get like the little $2 box of flan, boil some milk, and it sets, and then you got some flan. It's delicious, but it has carrageenan in it. Carrageenan can affect the human digestive system, which has led to limited use in the European Union. So that's just a few things. I'm sure, you know, I'm going to throw this article in the description, but I encourage you to really read up. One of the things I think that has really helped me kind of thrive a little more in the last year or two is I've definitely kind of gotten more towards the veggies and meats type diet. The organic meats with them, it's almost a marketing thing. They, a lot of times, you know, farm raised or grass fed or whatever is completely irrelevant. They're able to put that on their packaging because they hit some benchmark. And as you've seen with the way that the FDA works with pharma, they work the same way with, you know, big farms or big agriculture, these companies that are kind of, you know, have a foothold in the economy, these massive factory farms and whatnot. So anyway, that's a very interesting kind of wormhole to go down, is products that, you know, the aristocracy, the financial aristocracy, as I like to call it here in the U.S., has kind of allowed the plebs to eat, while in Europe they're a little more, I guess, reasonable and sensible and protective of their people. So another topic that I talk a lot about and I want to keep talking about is January 6th, because I remember this so well when it happened, because I was already heavy on Twitter and I saw a lot of the footage the day of the protest. And I knew a lot of left people who were there who described it as a bipartisan, peaceful event. So what I've done recently is kind of dig up some of those tweets. A lot of the people who shared video and kind of documented the events of January 6th are in jail. Matt Gaetz talked a little bit about that on Tim Pool. And it's interesting to note that a lot of people were arrested and prosecuted for that day. And that's fine. You know, my take on January 6th is, look, first of all, there's no way Black Lives Matter protesters would have got inside the Capitol. And that's interesting. And we'll go over that and how that happened. And second of all, it just, if you did something wrong that day, and you know, there's people that vandalized or broke windows or whatever, sure. You know, if you have those people on video vandalizing, or if you have people committing actual crimes that can be prosecuted, arrest them, prosecute them. And I think something like 950 people have already been arrested and prosecuted. Some people are still in jail who haven't even been to court yet. And that's a problem. Whether you're right or left, protesting should be a right in the United States. And when it starts being tamped down like this, we've got a problem. So let's walk through the January 6th stuff, because to me, you know, my thesis on January 6th is that, much like any kind of, it's shock doctrine stuff. If you know who Naomi Klein is, or you've ever read the shock doctrine, you know that what happens is crises get leveraged for political purposes. And I think with January 6th, it was a legitimate protest in its inception. And then it kind of got used as a propaganda op. And I think that's undeniable when you look at the evidence. So let's go through it. So first of all, here's video of police letting protesters into the building, right? And this is a lot of this footage that people took that was originally on Twitter the day of the protest was taken down. A lot of these people were banned who were sharing it. So it's interesting to me that this stuff was kind of suppressed so hard, and there's not more visible, like a lot of people had cameras that day. So there should be a lot more visible evidence or a lot more of this footage out. And it looks like it's being suppressed, right? So, and here's cops opening the barriers. And This guy, actually, the guy who I kind of grabbed this video from, shows how the press manipulates the footage to make it look like they just pushed the gates down when the cops are actually opening the gates for them, right? So the next thing you have that I think is interesting is this video of the protesters walking uniformly inside the velvet rope. And this is just one instance. You know, there's other video that you can show that shows violence, which we'll get to. But to me, I mean, this on its own, right? Like, this is kind of shows you that the whole violent insurrection narrative is a little hyped up, right? You know, sure, there were people being violent. I mean, Ashley Babbitt was killed. But it was, I think, you know how the American press works. They dramatize things to the nth degree, and that's definitely what was being done. So here you have, you know, video of people smashing the doors. And then you have this video, which is really interesting, that shows a guy kind of in like a black, like Antifa looking outfit, smashing the doors. And again, I'm not one of those Tucker Carlson people who thinks Antifa's controlled by the Democrats, or if anything, it looks like this guy's an agent provocateur, someone like who's trying to cause a justification for like militarism, where they can say, look, these guys broke the windows, we got to swarm them and tear gas them and beat the crap out of them with our rubber bats. You know, that's what this looks like to me. And I wasn't there, so, you know, I could be wrong about that, but I'm speculating based on this video. You have video of people casually leaving the building right here. And it's just, none of this breaks, this part doesn't get seen, right? And there's even clips of Trump that were taken out of context where he's saying things. He's saying, you know, you got to be strong or whatever. By the same token, if you look at his Twitter feed, which they banned, I'm sure they banned him for that reason, so people couldn't see what he was saying. But he was calling for civility and people to be, you know, he's like, the cop, the police are our friends, and which is not something you'd hear at a Black Lives Matter protest. But the reality is, the idea that these people were somehow this crazy, you know, militant white power threat to democracy is a joke. And it's a narrative that was hyped for a couple reasons. One, political reasons, as we'll get into. And two, money. So what happens is now, just like you're seeing with Ukraine, they need an excuse to dump money in there. As the war on terror winds down, now that apparatus is being turned inwards. So we have all this surveillance and stuff going on. Here's Matt Gaetz on Tim Pool's podcast talking about how the security apparatus is being turned internally. And so they're looking for, like, January 6th is a perfect opportunity for that, right? They're looking for reasons to go after people and dump money into, like, finding terrorists.
I had a whistleblower come to me and talk about how these specialized units that have FBI, CIA, that were targeted at extremism in, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, you know, all over the world, that now those very same teams and those very same tools and those very same national security authorities are exclusively being turned inward, mm-hmm. you know, to instead of finding, you know, somebody that's building a bomb to blow up an embassy abroad, they're like, you know, analyzing what some guy who lives in his mom's basement is putting on his blog that's read by tens of people. Yeah. And that now, after they were turned inward as a result of this omnibus spending legislation, they are flooded with cash. I mean, just so much money that is now in the hands of these people who wake up every day saying, you know, how can I go find a white supremacist extremist to hunt down? And, you know, if you create an industry of witch hunters, right, like, you're going to find more witches, like, even if they're not actually witches.
And then you have this Ray Epps guy, who I've already talked about before, who's a guy who is very visibly trying to lead people into the Capitol, right? And, you know, here's that video of this. And the people know it. They call the guy a Fed right to his face because he's just being an obvious instigator. And so then, finally, you have, after all of this, you have these January 6th hearings. Well, even for this, this is kind of where it gets even more dicey. The Democrats hired a TV producer for this. So they talk about narrative. I mean, they totally built a narrative around this January 6th thing. And the reason for that is they can't run on any of their accomplishments, you know? As someone who worked for the Bernie Sanders campaign, once the Democrats kind of, you know, cheated Bernie a second time and tried to fold all of us progressives into the Democratic Party, I was one of the people who went, nah, nah. And people like, oh, come on, be a realist. You got to vote for Biden. No, I know who Joe Biden is. That's not what I'm voting for. And so this kind of reality has proven to be true over the last 2 years, as you've seen the things Biden's done. He hasn't done one progressive thing. Even the marijuana arrest thing or the marijuana stuff that they recently did was a basic giant nothing. They do these kind of like PR tricks, and the Obama people are so good at this, where they tout something progressive, and then they kind of quietly, the devil's in the details, don't actually do anything progressive. So with this marijuana thing, for example, they just said, hey, we're going to release all these people convicted of marijuana possession at the federal level. Well, people in federal prison aren't there for possession. They're there for, you know, trafficking or some big high level crime. So the best that's going to happen in those situations is a couple people might get their sentence lessened a little bit because they'll drop the possession part of their charge off. You know, so it's a really, again, it's the devil's in the details. It's a gigantic joke that they were able to kind of like pass off as PR. And that's what the Democrats do today. There's no substance. They are right wingers who run on leftist PR, basically. And that's why the January 6th hearings happen, because they don't have anything to run on. So the best they can do is hire a TV producer to scare you into thinking the other party's fascists. And trust me, I'm not trying to vote for Republicans either. I don't like the Republican Party. I don't like their social safety net rhetoric, for example. I think Ronald Reagan was one of the worst, if not the worst president the country's ever had. You know, he's the first actor president. You know, Trump is obviously the next in succession to someone like that. So that's the summation of the January 6th propaganda op, right? It's to get people who would normally be pro-government protest to shill for Capitol Police, more security, take away protesters' rights, The Ashley Babbitt thing is another great example of it, which I've already covered, but all of a sudden, people who are against police brutality are cheering for police brutality because it has a MAGA hat on. And if you're a consistent, you just don't do that. If you have consistent views and you're not a tribal hack, that's not who you are. And unfortunately, there are a lot of hacks out there. There are a lot of inconsistent people. That's my barometer for most people, is are they intellectually inconsistent? You know, do they believe one thing in one situation and a different thing in another situation? Like the COVIDians, for example. I believe in bodily autonomy for women, but not for vaccines. You're an idiot. You're just like the conservatives who are like, women shouldn't be allowed to get abortions, but my body, my choice on the vaccine. That's you. You're the flip side of that, liberal. So you're every bit as bad as those people when you have that view. So that's my rant. January 6th is a joke. And between the Russia hoax and that, it was the perfect combination of lube for the American mind to be smashed into the little Ukraine box it's currently in. And that's a great segue to our next segment about fake journalists. So this next topic of discussion on the Politics Show this week is going to be about what I like to call access journalists. And shout out to Revolutionary Black Network, Compton J, for bringing this up. I was watching their stream a little bit earlier, and someone, it might have been someone he was watching on Twitter, whatever, he's the one who brought up this term, and I think it's the greatest term to describe these people, access journalists, because people like, okay, I'm going to focus on two particular people because they've been kind of in the news recently, right? Crystal Ball and Kyle Kulinski. So a couple years ago, I found Secular Talk and I really enjoyed Kyle and I really enjoyed his kind of sensible take on things. He's an intelligent, well-spoken guy. And then over the years, he just deteriorated into what I call an access journalist. And he's not even getting the access. That's the funny part. I don't know if you remember a while back, they had Crystal and Kyle had an opportunity to have Bernie Sanders on, and Bernie wouldn't go on the show if Kyle was there. So he sat that one out like a little bitch, instead of saying, no, go yourself, Bernie, giant coward. But now you have Crystal Ball out here calling people, telling people to grow up and support the Democrats. Oh, wow. It's just, and the reality is, these people are unserious on every level. They're every bit as captured as the government they're trying to shill for, or the party that they're shilling for. When you watch someone like Kyle, for example, how he's deteriorated over the years into one of the people who will slander someone for sexual harassment without knowing anything, or just a total like mouthpiece for these weak, limp-wristed people who just accuse anyone they dislike of being a Russian or a TERF or whatever. Like anyone that they slightly disagree with is the most evil person ever who needs to be blocked so they can go hide inside their fairy tale land of unicorns and rainbows where no one disagrees with them and everyone just repeats each other and nods happily. But Crystal coming out and saying this is really funny because this guy pulled a video and mashed up of her a couple years ago talking about how ridiculous it is to believe that the Democrats are ever going to do anything for you. Check this out.
If we buy every single time that you have no other choice than to back whatever bad candidate is put in front of us, then we're going to keep getting the treatment that we get now. I mean, what would you do if Michael Bloomberg was the nominee, right? What would you do if Mitt Romney was the nominee? It's just, they can go down this path as far and as right wing as they want, as long as we're willing to be good soldiers and buck it up. And at the end of the day, say, you know what, guys, you're right. We're all on the team together, vote blue, no matter who.
No, I disagree.
And they want to like wait around for some theoretical revolution. I'm sorry, grow up, get serious. This is an actual path to having an impact on the issues that you claim to care about. Now, if you've got another candidate, you got another strategy, please, I'm all ears. But the reality of the American political system today is we have a first past the post voting system that makes it virtually impossible for third party candidates to compete.
So there you have it. Over the years, these people have just degenerated into the most unserious people, you know. And it started with the Young Turks, really. Cenk is the absolute worst when it comes to access journalism. He's out there defending all these terrible Democrats, so they'll keep coming on his show. You're not gonna get Ro Khanna or Ilhan Omar or AOC on Jimmy Dore or Revolutionary Black Network. Or, you know, who else is doing, like Tucker Carlson, even someone who's even mainstream but represents the opposing viewpoint and might ask tough questions. So these are definitely access journalists, and they're not doing journalism that's speaking truth to power or pushing the envelope in any way. They're doing journalism that recites Democratic Party talking points and, you know, protects the access that they have to people like AOC and the Squad. And, you know, they're every bit as bad as MSNBC or CNN. They just do it on YouTube. And I think the point when this happened was really when the Bernie wing of the party kind of eventually kind of folded into the Biden people and became, you know, Democratic Party, you know, people. They became a part, like the left, which was, so the socialist Democrats or the social Democrats, the people who want a social safety net, Medicare for all, obviously being my number one most important policy position, those people absorbed into the Biden team or the Biden administration, and they got access to the Biden administration. And now, rather than be critical of the Biden administration, they're going to apologize on behalf of the Biden administration so that they can keep their access, because that's what gets them views. Unlike someone like a Jimmy Dore, who is, his views come from legitimacy and continually challenging the narrative that the Democratic Party is going to do anything for you, or really that it has since the 1960s. You know, this whole rotating villain thing that these guys push, that like, oh, we got to vote for Biden or Trump is the worst. There's a Hunter Thompson quote from the 60s where he talks about this, and I'm going to dig it up real quick. Okay, this is a Hunter Thompson quote from his book Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, released in 1972. So wow, that's 50 years ago. So they've been doing this for 50 years. Listen to this. How many more of these stinking double downer sideshows will we have to go through before we can get ourselves straight enough to put together some kind of national election that will give me and the at least 20 million people I tend to agree with a chance to vote for something instead of always being faced with that old familiar choice between the lesser of two evils? So again, guys, they've been doing this since, for ages. Vote for one of the two fascist parties or else. Don't try to step outside of that. Meanwhile, here's Lawrence O'Donnell telling you how to handle the Democratic Party. And the only person out here agreeing with this or saying this, in fact, the person I found this video clip from, or I saw it, the first place I saw this video clip was Jimmy Dore. So check this out.
If you want to pull the party, the major party that is closest to the way you're thinking, to what you're thinking, you must show them that you're capable of not voting for them. If you don't show them you're capable of not voting for them, they don't have to listen to you. I promise you that. I worked within the Democratic Party. I didn't listen or have to listen to anything on the left while I was working in the Democratic Party, because the left had nowhere to go.
The reason that this crystal ball grow up video went so viral is because people have been hearing this for years. And she said the opposite 4 years ago, before she was captured by the Democratic Party, before she had her access. She didn't have the access she has now, and she's going to protect that at all costs. So thanks again, Compton J and Revolutionary Blackout Network, for this term, access journalism, because it's what all the left YouTubers are now. Those Vanguard kids got their butts ripped open the other day. They're so pathetic. Like, so many of these people, the only time I ever even hear anything from Stan Cedar is when he disses Jimmy Dore. Because the guy is so irrelevant. Or I remember I think they tried to start some video called the leftist mafia, and it's like that Canadian guy who I call David Dull, because he's just like, he's got pretty eyes and everything, like he's a good looking dude, but he looks like one of those cats from like an 80s movie, like a John Cusack type. You know, he's a handsome dude, but he's just reciting the same crap you'll hear on MSNBC or CNN on YouTube for the progressive light team, all these people that think they're progressive but think TYT is where it's at. Anyway, that's all I got for today. Thanks again to everyone who's watching, and would love to talk more with y'all on Twitter. Follow me at Rogue Grimes. And let's interact. Thanks again. Take care of yourselves out there.